Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle this Friday morning. You're here with Glenn Van Zutphen standing in for Elliot Dinecombe, Manisha Tank and Mr. Ryan Hwang. And Ryan, it's been a very busy week. There's a bit of a moment. We don't often talk about the FTSE Russell Index. but actually...
Why don't we talk about that now?
Well, it's kind of a pivotal moment because for the first time they've added Chinese government bonds to this flagship World Government Bond Index. And it's actually, like I said, it's quite a moment because I think it says something about where we are so far as the Chinese
economy. Is a bit of a milestone because for a long time, foreign investors had a lot of restrictions going into the Chinese market. Yeah. So this is a big turning point, I guess, when you look at how things have been evolving. And just to recap again, FTSE Russell will be adding Chinese government bonds to its flagship World Government Bond Index. And this will take place in 2021 with final confirmation in March. So once again, a major step for investors looking to tap the Chinese market with what we now have in the world right now, zero interest rates in most places.
It's where can I find something that's going to give me a return?
And apparently, Chinese bond markets are going to give you that more attractive return. And to help break it down for us, we've got Francis Tan. He is the investment strategist at UOB Private Bank. Morning, Francis. Happy Friday.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, everyone.
Hey, let's get into this story. So this is getting you quite excited. Walk us through the significance of this. Why has it taken so long for this to happen? How has the landscape evolved in recent years when it comes to restrictions for foreign investors?
Right. I guess one of the key things that FTSE Russell initially cited the need for greater secondary market liquidity, as well as flexibility in the foreign exchange execution and even the settlement of transactions to meet their inclusion criteria. So apparently right now, I think that the Chinese bonds have satisfied all these criteria. But in fact, if you look at it, back in April 2019, that was last year, Bloomberg Barclays Global Aggregate Index already included the Chinese bonds. And thereafter, following quite closely, we had JP Morgan also starting to include the Chinese government bonds inside their very much widely followed global diversified index. So right now, we have all three major indices around the world that has to be they will be including Chinese government bonds. I think that's going to be a solid push into the Chinese government bond space in terms of the interest and also the pickup from institutional or even retail investors worldwide.
Yeah, so this is actually all part of, I guess, the Chinese market reforms allowing more foreign investors into China. Walk us through what's the impact of this in terms of inflows into the Chinese markets. How much money are we talking about?
Oh, wow. Well, there's quite a big industry estimate saying that because of the inclusion of the bonds into all three indices right now, including the last one from FTSE Russell, there's going to be around $320 billion worth of inflows. And that's in US dollars into the Chinese bond market. And out of that, potentially $150 billion of it, which is a large part of the $320 billion, will be because of the FTSE Russell. So the I think that a lot of full reputation ETFs, they will certainly have to include the Chinese government bonds inside. And that's going to increase the demand in a very big way.
Yeah, it's really raising quite a bit of interest and buzz. So, yes. Francis, what's behind the rush? What are the rates like? What's the yield like compared to what we have elsewhere?
That's right. I mean, in a world of very low interest environment, and especially we have heard from the U.S. Federal Reserve that they're going to keep interest rates low for a longer period of time right now in their new strategy, I think that the potential inflow is certainly there. Now, for one, as of the end of August, we are seeing the FTSE Chinese Government Index that is providing a yield of nearly 3% at the end of August. Now, compare that to the U.S. Government Bond Index, it's only giving you around 0.5%. Mm. So that is a whole 250 basis point yield premium that we are seeing if you are going into the Chinese Government Index. Now, if you look into the UK, that's also giving you around 0.5%. Japan is even much lower at 0.17%. So I think that the attractive yield difference is going to boost quite strongly the inflow, again, from both institutional or even retail investors. Now, at the end of the day, I think another advantage, well, especially when we are looking at portfolio allocation, I think is that it's good for hedging. Now, one may be thinking that, wow, it's yielding you 3%. Why is it good for hedging? It's because if you look at the correlation, it's pretty much uncorrelated to the FTSE US bond index, for example. Mm-hmm. The correlation is almost zero. It's at 0.07. So, wow, at 6 times the yield and almost zero correlation, I think this is certainly another big part of a portfolio that investors should really look at, including.
Yeah, Francis, the other thing I was wondering about is liquidity. Would there be any difficulties selling it? Because when you compare it to global markets, like in the US, it is a much larger market. But whereas when you look at China, there are more restrictions, so to speak, and most of the buyers keep it for a long time. They don't really sell it.
Okay, certainly liquidity is one of the concerns, but I guess with the due diligence done by all three major indices, I think that the liquidity part, I think, should improve going forward. No doubt the U.S. had a what we call a first mover advantage, being much earlier in the world in terms of both even the equities or even the fixed income sector, huge deep liquidity over there. But I think that the Chinese is slowly picking up. And, well, I guess at the end of the day, you've got to pay a higher return for something that's not as liquid as the U.S. market. And that's exactly why we are seeing this. While in finance, we always talk about risk, return, and liquidity. So there's going to be some allocation between all these three. So I think that at the end of the day, while we are looking at not putting all the eggs in one basket, and certainly I believe going forward, the attractiveness of the Chinese economy, especially their recovery from the current pandemic and the longer-term strategy of China will, I think, at the end of the day, push forth a lot more interest in the government bonds.
Yeah, that's right, Francis. You've been pointing this out for quite some time. China has been the first one in and first one out. So the recovery picture in China, a bit more robust compared to elsewhere. What about the corporate side of things when you look at the corporate bonds? In the past year, there have been some negative headlines, some defaults, and even a corporate accounting scandal around Luckin Coffee. Is the picture around corporate bonds just as strong?
Yes, I believe currently we are overweight in Chinese government bond, corporate bonds as well. Now, one of the key things is that at the end of the day, it comes really with selection. Now, it's the same as picking stocks. Well, the same goes to picking bonds. Now, one of the key things is that we need to look at the companies in China that has still very strong cash flow, a good balance sheet, size. So all these, I think, points to still a nice corporate bond segment over there. But at the end of the day, if you look across at the yields again, the Chinese corporate bonds are still providing you quite a big yield pickup compared to what we are seeing in the developed markets. So long as we are not too concentrated, we continue to diversify, I believe that the Chinese corporate bonds will still be one of the key instruments for investors to look at going forward.
And Francis, just to wrap things up, for investors who might be keen on this, where can they start looking at? And I think I've been looking at the SGX. They had a new ETF around this.
Oh, yes. That's right. So we I think that for retail investors, one of the ways to get into the Chinese government bonds is through the ETF. So the ETF right now that you're seeing that's listed on the SGX, it closely replicates it's a full replication ETF onto the Chinese government bond index. So I think that will be one of the easiest and way to enter into the government bond sector for China.
Okay, we've been chatting with Francis Tan. He's the investment strategist at UOB Private Bank, helping us to break down the Chinese bond market. Francis, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.